Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I am basking in the glow of Florida spiny lobster. Season kicks off officially Monday. We had the mini season last week, and we celebrated appropriately at Lauderdale by the Sea for Bugfest 2018. I got Steve Delavera, the man behind the madness, on Scuba Radio with me to recap this cool event. Steve, how are you, buddy?
I am barely surviving.
Exactly. Last I saw you, you were literally dripping with sweat. I'm guessing you lost at least, 5 to 10 pounds just by sweating it off for the event.
I had a few beers afterwards, so I think I put it right back on.
Well,
so.
I was going to say, I hope you were compensated in lobster tail by the amount of weight you lost. You got a certain amount of pounds of lobster.
Yeah, I wish. My son caught 12.
Oh, there you go. All right.
But cool. I haven't seen any of those yet. Maybe in a couple of weeks. Yeah, while the barbecue.
You know, yeah. Our Scuba Radio crew went out Wednesday and Thursday, and we limited out both days on the radio. But we had a great time regardless.
A lot of folks did really well. A lot of folks did really well off Broward, Fort Lauderdale. They really did, yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of action. In all seriousness, we did really well. And I actually brought some lobster home to my family for the first time in a few years. They were happy about that. Yeah, because usually I eat them all up while I'm down there. We just grill them out, have them fresh at the Gomez Hilton or something like that. So we mixed it up, brought a few home, and it was thoroughly enjoyed by my family. I can't wait to get down there for regular season, but it looks like it's going to be a great year. I mean, we caught quite a few with eggs. There were a lot of lobster out there, so I'd say that's a good barometer of what to expect here for Florida spiny lobster season when the
season
opens up on Monday. So we'll have to get down there again real soon. Now, we got to do a little recap and thank all the people. I mean, I wasn't even able to talk to you last week on the show because you were so friggin' busy running around like a madman.
I
wanted to thank you personally for putting on this very cool event. Bugfest by the Sea has turned into the lobster season event in Florida by far as I'm concerned. You gave away how many thousands of dollars of stuff over the couple days?
Between the regular awards we give out, the cash and the dive gear prizes and all the trips that were raffled off during the Dive Hard concert, probably about $20,000 worth of stuff. Yeah,
excellent. Yeah, I mean, there are Sherwood regulators. There is stuff from all over. We got to thank the sponsors and give them some props. Reef Safe Sunscreen, they were supporting the event big time, right?
Reef Safe is always a great supporter. We had Sherwood. Aqualung donated the great regulator, a Legends regulator. Goco Scuba donated a lot of stuff. Paralens gave us two $700 video camera kits, which the divers that won those, they were stoked.
That was really cool. Yeah, you put this little camera on your mask, and you can get that point of view of you catching your own lobster. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, and also I want to thank Neil Watson from Neil Watson's Bimini Scuba Center. Neil stepped up to the plate at the event, totally out of the blue, and donated like a three-day dive trip, which was awesome.
Well, he stepped up out of the blue, but he pointed out, he said, look, I've had 5 beers. I don't really know what I'm doing, so I'm going to give away something.
And I've already got those 5 beers on order for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'll be good, yeah.
Neil is one of a kind. But, yeah, he made someone very, very happy at Bugfest last year.
Yeah, Eric O'Connor won, Diver. He was on cloud 9 afterwards, Doc, because I know I was with him for a little bit.
Yeah, and, we had different categories, prettiest lobster or ugliest lobster. I don't know. There was a bunch of crazy ones. But then, obviously, biggest was, which was, what was the biggest lobster cut off the beach there?
Biggest lobster off the beach was, actually it was the biggest lobster overall. It was 5 pounds, and it was caught by Randall Reed, a scuba diver from La Lantana, Florida.
Nice. Yeah. Did he catch it right off the beach then, huh?
Right off the beach, right off the water by the sea, yeah.
That's so cool. That's a big old lobster right there.
Yeah. Second biggest was 4.1 pounds, and that was caught off Miami-Dade by Mike Mailer, who's he and his brothers won the he and his brother won the 12 biggest off Miami-Dade on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, so. And I know the team Chiefy, my lobster guru, his team won something too, right?
Yeah, most team Chiefy caught, I think it was like 21 pounds of lobster on Wednesday, the 12 biggest bugs. But there was a close second with the team by Frank Schmidt with David Brisbane and Sherry Williams. They were within a pound of beating Chiefy, so it was very close. But the 12 biggest off Broward, yeah.
All right. Well, his badge of honor still is applied. Yeah. It sounds like for now, but he has nipping on his tail.
And he won the Aqualung Regulator too.
Yeah, he scored big time.
He cleaned up. He cleaned up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he knows his stuff. He knows how to work the whole concept. I mean, you know, this thing's been going on a few years now, so the regulars are really figuring out how to, work it to their advantage to take home some extra goodies besides Florida spiny lobster tail. But that's what it's all about: having fun, having a little friendly competition, that kind of thing. Bugfest by the Sea. .com, by the way, is the website to go to and get information about the event and plan now for next year. Now, we stayed at the Plunge Beach Hotel. You got several hotels down there, but Plunge Beach did a phenomenal job with our crew. But you got a bunch of places you can go and hang and visit Lauderdale by the Sea and participate next year, right?
You know, and some of the other hotels donated prizes, too. Like High Noon donated like a three-night stay, and I think Seacliff donated like a three-night stay as well. So, it's not just the dive gear prizes, it's other stuff too.
Yeah. Well, and the social aspects of Bugfest are what I really love. You know, I had a couple of friends of listeners or crew members, Vinny Two Tanks and Tutu Tom, came out from California. They had never Florida lobster dive before, and they came out for Bugfest, and they had an absolute blast.
Did they?
Yeah.
Good.
And I did convince them. I believe I did convince them that the Florida spiny lobster are much harder and faster and, harder to catch than the California spiny lobster, which look very similar but are slower and more laid back because of the cold water.
Right.
That's my excuse. That's a Florida lobster diver talking smack to a California lobster diver.
I agree with that.
Yeah, see?
I also have to say that I think the Scuba Radio Mermaids added a nice touch to the event as well.
We had some nice ones. Liesl was helping us out. And let's see, who was the other? Well, we had Taylor. Kayla. Neil Watson's granddaughter was there. She's like a model and mermaid and everything. She's well on her way to being a superstar, by the way. So we expect big things from her, not just because of the lineage from the dive god, but she's pretty cool in her own right. But they added a nice little spice to the whole event. And then, of course, we had the Scuba Cowboy. We had parties. Tuesday night kickoff party was great at the Plunge Beach Hotel. And then Wednesday night, the Scuba Cowboy played at the
Village Grill.
There in the square. And then Thursday night, we had a big blowout there for the lobster cook-off. And the lobster cook-off winners were, once again, what was that lady?
She was a diver. She's a diver that she's one of Gold Coast Scuba's customers here in Lauderdale by the Sea. She owns the Barn Sports Facility in Pompano.
I didn't quite understand the title of their so she just works at this place called the Barn Sports Facility, but she's just a diver and knows how to make lobster?
Right. What happens is that every year, it's a lot of work to take part in that chef competition.
You've got to bring all
your ingredients, all the utensils, all the plates. So it's difficult sometimes to get people to agree to do it. So 3 weeks out, I only had like two teams committed. So I put out a blast on Facebook asking for anybody connected to the diving industry to step forward. And she was one of Steve Gagas's customers over in Gold Coast.
Okay.
So she stepped up. And then within a week or two, I had too many. But that's the way it goes usually.
Well, of course. So, yeah. Well, she was a firecracker. And she won. Yeah. I forget what her recipe was, but it looked pretty enticing. I didn't have a bite of it, but she really sold it.
Yeah, it was It was like lobster cerviche, you know, and it was all on a little half clamshell, and that was the only one I tasted. I don't have time to go around.
Yeah, you just go with the winner. Say, okay, who won? Let me have some of that stuff.
No, I actually tasted it before the winners were announced.
Okay, all right.
I twisted my arm and I tasted it. It was really good. It was really good.
Well, there you go. She sold it to him. Say, here, eat this. She was doing that quite a bit. She worked it. You know, like I said, they're in the know. Well, Steve, great job. Bugfest by the Sea, one of my favorite events of the year. Once again, bugfestbythesea.com. Check it out. Plan for next year. And don't wait. Go on down to Lauderdale by the Sea now and take advantage of some of the diving they got right there off the beach. You'll take them, right, Steve?
Yep. Thanks, Greg.
You got it. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey guys, it's me. And I just wanted to remind you.
This shark, swallow you whole.
And I'm scared of sharks. Sharks. Sharks.
Sharks. They'll bite you. Bite you.
I don't want to get my leg bit off by a shark. Shark, 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 shark. Stay away, shark. Sharks are fast. Sharks are mean. Sharks will bite you in the spleen. Sharks are fast. Sharks are mean. Sharks will bite you in the spleen.
I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't gonna be easy. Bad fish.
Stay away, shark. I don't wanna get my leg bit off by a shark.
You don't know me.
Stay away, shark.
You don't know what I got.
That's right. Unless you watch Shark Week, then you would realize that whole entire song was a bunch of hogwash. But it's amazing what people put up on YouTube these days. And it's what we like to call in the biz radio gold. I am Greg the Dive Master. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And a guy we have not been chatting with enough lately is on the line with me right now. And, of course, that's Jerry the Diver Guy. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, you should have been down there for Bugfest, but I know you had some other conflicts, taking care of some health things and teaching people how to dive and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get out on the water soon enough. But you were able to virtually dive by being our eyes and ears for Shark Week while we were going catching lobster. That was your assignment. So you saw, like, all the Shark Week shows. Is that right, Jerry, pretty much?
Just about every single one of them.
Yeah. So overall, what is your impressions of Shark Week?
Well, I have to take my hat off this time.
Yeah?
They actually done very well this year.
You think so?
I think so. They, you know, to me, there's other sharks in the ocean other than great whites.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see more of that on there.
Yeah.
And you've heard that rant from me for years, but...
I heard it.
But what do you expect? We got a little bit of that this year. Hey, we got Shaq, so...
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I got to say, that Shaq and Rob Riddle thing, or Riggle, whatever his name is, to kick off Shark Week was hilarious. I thought they did... Yeah. Really, they had a lot of fun with that, and it came across, and I thought they covered the bases pretty well. And the fact that Shaq had to be pulled out of the cage at the end of that episode by Neil Watson Jr., I mean, that was pretty intense, and that was kind of an interesting little thing, but he didn't seem to be fazed by that, Shaq being the, well, of course, he's like, what, 50 times bigger than the baby Caribbean reef shark that got in the cage with him. But I have no doubt that freaked him out.
That's the thing. Look how big Neil is, and he pulled Shaq out.
So. Yeah, exactly. Adrenaline kicked in, because like, oh my gosh, we can't have the star getting, you know, whatever. But it was quite entertaining. And I will agree with you. Overall, I thought they did pretty well with Shark Week this year, with the exception, I have one little beef. And I don't know if you saw this one on Friday.
Let me guess that.
Which one?
The Megalodon has returned.
Well, you know, on Friday night, I caught up on a bunch of the episodes when I got back from Bugfest. And the one that I didn't really care for was Megalodon Fact or Fiction. And, they had to do it because they used it as a promo vehicle for that movie, The Meg, that's coming out here in a week or two. And I've been telling you about this for some time. As divers, get ready. This is going to be potentially a new Jaws type of movie that we're going to have to answer a lot of questions from our non-diving friends. Like, oh my gosh, is Megalodon out there? Are the sharks going to eat us as soon as we jump in? It's a whole Jaws kind of movie. $150 million budget for this film. And they're promoting it heavily. And of course, they did that on Shark Week on Friday night. And what they did is they used that Megalodon mockumentary they did a few years ago. They got everybody upset, especially in the diving community, about how they presented this as kind of like a documentary. And people were like, what? Is this real? Is this? And it was a big hose. You know, we didn't expect to see that on Shark Week. And they apologized for it, the whole thing. But of course, they regurgitated this crap on Friday night, also saying that it was indeed a hose and admitting that and putting disclaimers and everything else. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, they got to make their rating, so I'll give them that much. But I didn't really care for it. I knew some of the people they had put up there.
Hey, they put Jules on there.
Who was?
Julie
Anderson. She works with Scuba Pro and the Shark Angel. She's a very nice lady. She was one of the go-to people about dispelling the myths of Megalodon, but how she became an expert on Megalodon, I don't know. Maybe she is. But, I mean, she was basically...
She's a Shark Angel.
Yeah, well, true, yeah. And she was basically just there to say, hey, all this crap is crap. So, but the whole thing was... showing the crap. So it's kind of like, look, did you, you know, this doesn't really help the argument, I didn't think, as far as protecting sharks that much. But, you know, whatever. They got to do what they got to do. And, you know, when they're promoting a movie and money's money, they got to get the eyeballs, and that's one way to do it. So I guess it could have been worse. But that was the one show I did not like for Shark Week. The other stuff, for the most part, was pretty interesting. And I thought they were fairly... fair on how they projected the sharks. Did you see the Naked and Afraid with Sharks episode? Did you see that one?
I actually have it DVR'd. I haven't got to watch it yet.
Yes. Well, that was an interesting show. I thought that was kind of overplayed as well. They were on Andros in the Bahamas, supposedly, and they put them out there for 2 weeks, five of them naked, butt-ass naked, and they had to survive on Andros, which evidently has nothing, you know, other than sharks in the water around there. And it was interesting because the sharks, every time they got in the water, the sharks were there. And that seemed a little far-fetched for me. Maybe it's true, but I don't recall having sharks show up every time we got out on the water. I mean, they definitely have sharks, but I'm guessing that they had to have been baited in at some way to bring them in. I don't know. I don't know the truth of it, but, you know, it was okay. You know, the people they have naked, you're kind of like, eh, maybe you ought to keep your clothes on. You know, it doesn't really do much for the viewership. Yeah, let alone the sharks probably would say, hey, what's that little dangly bit there? No, I don't think I'll eat it. Anyway, you know, overall, I thought it was okay, but you give it two fins up yourself.
Yeah, I will give it two fins up this time.
All right, so Jerry the Diver Guy.
Yeah. Quarters, yeah. At least.
I did like, you know, seeing Liz Parkinson. She had a little thing on there, and that was kind of cool, seeing her in South Africa with the Great Whites.
I actually felt bad for her on that last little clip when she was in the water with the Great White.
Why? I didn't see this. What happened?
Oh, you didn't see the ending, you know, where they're swimming back to the boat, and they had that Great White come in?
I guess not. What happened?
All the murky water, everything. Yeah. I can hear the Jaws theme playing.
Yeah? She got a little frazzled? Nah.
I think she may have.
Really? You think she relieved herself in her wetsuit, huh?
Right. The water.
I'll have to go back to the DVR and check that one. It was good stuff. Overall, I'll agree with you. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I have connected with Eric the author, Eric Douglas. He's quite a creative guy, and he's a diver. He's a good friend. He has a new book out. We're going to talk about that. But I guess first, before we get into that, Eric, I got to ask, what were you doing during Shark Week and Bug Fest? Were you involved in either one?
Unfortunately, I wasn't involved with Bug Fest.
Yeah.
Shark Week, no, but I missed both of them. Actually, I was on a family vacation hanging out on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and just I was reconnecting with my ocean.
Okay. So you were purposely avoiding Shark Week.
I was purposely avoiding Shark Week,
okay.
Absolutely.
And but you didn't, you couldn't participate in Bug Fest because you were up there. Did you try to dive in the Outer Banks?
I had scheduled a dive, was planning on getting out. You know, there's some amazing dives off of North Carolina. But we had such just rough weather. The day I was planning to go out, there were red flag warnings on the beach and small craft advisories, and they weren't about to go out on that. So we canceled.
Yeah, that would be no fun. Yeah, you've dove over there before, though, haven't you?
I have, and I've been on the wrecks that we were supposed to dive before, but I was just looking forward to get back in the water. But it wasn't to be.
Wasn't to be. Is that where they do the Sand Tiger wreck dives, or is that somewhere else?
No, that's exactly it. Especially this time of year, you get a lot of Sand Tigers in. We were going to do the U-85, which was a German U-boat off of Nag's Head, which I've dived before. But it's really cool to see and to realize that German U-boats were in that close to the U.S. shipping lanes. But
I'm hip. Well, I would imagine that kind of scenario will filter its way into one of your novels. Am I right, or has
you know,
it already done that?
Well, it's done it before. Wreck of the Huron starts out on the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Yeah.
But there's a real good chance that the next Mike Scott story goes back to the Outer Banks.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that and the new release that literally just went on sale this week. Next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Bulavinaka, I'm Maggie Khan of Matava Eco Resort, Nadeva Kandavu, south of the Pacific Islands in Fiji. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to scuba diving. And now here's a guy I got liquored up enough to put on a grass skirt. Greg the Dive Master.
Greg, you wicked girl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, a wicked girl. I don't know. I that's a compliment, right, Eric?
I'm trying to figure that one out.
Yeah. You have to go to Fiji, put on a dress, and then maybe that'll explain it. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about other stuff.
Yeah, let's not even go there.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. You got a new book out in the Mike Scott series. And, well, first of all, it's called?
Water Crisis Day Zero.
Yeah, Water Crisis Day Zero, available on Amazon and, you know, all the different electronic forms, or you can get a hard copy. Booksbyeric.com, get that out there right from the top. And this one, quick synopsis, give it to us.
You know, the story's along the idea that water, fresh water, is actually a dwindling resource, and so the short story or short version of it is there's a person who's created a new way to desalinate water and provide water for places that are in trouble and don't have enough water. Mm-hmm. And there's a Russian oligarch who's out to stop them or to stop her, but also at the same time going to seed panic in the United States and create water refugees and mayhem in the United States.
Yeah. So it has a little, you know, right out of the headlines, the Russians are involved. you know, they, we don't have enough water. So it's kind of like naked and afraid. They're always trying to find water when they're butt ass naked on some island in the Bahamas. And it covers all the bases right out of the, you know, TV news. And just fun TV show kind of things as well. So I found it very entertaining. And, you know, obviously there's a diving element to it as well. He always works those elements in. They're very detailed as a scuba diver himself.
Absolutely.
And so if you're a diver, you will definitely enjoy this. But don't believe that you have to be a diver to enjoy it as well, because you don't. It's just a cool adventure novel. Featuring this Mike Scott character. He's written several books. This is the 10th, is that right?
This is the 10th in the series. I never really, when I started out, I never imagined I would make it this far, to be honest with you. But this is the 10th story in the series. There are now 8 novels and 2 novellas in the Mike Scott series.
Yeah. Now tell me a little bit more about how you get inspired for these stories, because they are very detailed. Like I said, you're always pulling from the headlines. This isn't really anything new with any of the Mike Scott series books. If you read them and if you've been to some of the locales that he says, you know, when he's in the Cayman Islands or, you know, off the Outer Banks or whatever, if you've been to those places, like, oh, yeah, I recognize what he's writing about right now. I've been there, and you can really put yourself in the book. And that's what I really love about that detail that you provide in your books. But what inspires you to do this, Eric? I mean, have you been to all these spots? And when you get there, you're like, okay, I want to put Mike Scott here. And is that how the process, the creative process for you works?
You know, it changes. I've been to all the locations I've written about, with the exception of in Wreck of the Huron that I mentioned a minute ago, actually, mm-hmm. there's a section that's in Cuba that I've never been to Cuba.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's all places I've been. I've had the good fortune of traveling quite a bit. But yeah, you know, so I'll imagine what would Mike Scott do in a situation like this. And with this one, I actually was reading, I've been to South Africa a couple of times, but I was reading about the water crisis in Cape Town, South Africa, where a city of 4 million people is literally about to run out of water.
Hmm.
And, you know, they've cut back to 2-minute showers, and it's illegal to wash your car and all of these things. But there's still no solution. They need more water. When I dug into it, I found out that that's actually a problem around the world. That it's actually causing civil wars and some of these problems that we're having in the Middle East and that sort of thing is because of water shortages. So that was the inspiration for this book.
Well, yeah, and as far as, you know, water shortages, we have those here in Florida where we're based out of. Everybody in California can relate to it.
Absolutely.
You know, as far as not having enough to water your lawns and all that kind of stuff. So I was very interested, you know, like when you start throwing in all these detailed reports of, hey, did you know the, I mean, there's a lot of statistics that you have pulled, you know, from research that you did and you put into the book, and that really is based in reality, which is
absolutely
interesting.
There are a number of quote unquote news reports. There are things that I wrote because I didn't want to pull from true news sources,
right?
For copyright issues and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I rewrote them, but they're all based in fact. There's probably a dozen or so just short news stories throughout. And actually, for what it's worth, where I live in Charleston, West Virginia, one of the stories that's in the book was a water crisis we had here where the water supply was poisoned. Some water leaked into the water, or some chemicals leaked into the water supply, and about 300,000 people right where I live, right in the state capital, actually, didn't have clean drinking water for about a week.
Mm.
And so that was another one of the inspirations. It's like, you know, when suddenly your water supply is poisoned and you're drinking bottled water and you don't know where you're going to get your next clean water, it's a little chilling. It's a little disturbing.
Yeah, and we got to have clean water, not just to drink, but to dive in. As divers,
absolutely.
We want nice, clean water whenever possible. Now, in the book, without giving too much away, you mentioned this Russian person who's a big feature in the book. She comes up with a way to desalinize water, like a technology that takes the ocean water. And this, you know, and turns it into drinking water. And this technology does exist. I mean, there's desalinization plants all over the world now. But to the level that you describe it in the book, is there real truth to this too, maybe? Or did you take a little bit of a leap in that regard, or what?
It's a little bit of, you know, when especially people who write science fiction call it extrapolation. You take current technology and you extrapolate out 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing exactly like what I described, but what's interesting is I combined the idea of making electricity, making energy from seawater,
yeah,
and desalinating the water at the same time. There are a number of efforts going on right now to create electricity using hydrogen fuel cells from seawater.
Yeah,
and
well,
so
that's technology that we've talked about on the show. That they were at the DEMA show, they're at the Long Beach show, and mm-hmm. they have a dive light that's literally powered by seawater.
There's even a ferry boat in San Francisco that's entirely powered by hydrogen fuel cells. So it's powered by seawater, and actually the only thing that comes out of it, the only exhaust from this ferry boat, is fresh water. So the technology's close. Nobody's, to my knowledge, using it for creating fresh water for this issue, but it's there. You know, there's amazing things that we can do with seawater to power our lights and to provide fresh drinking water and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
So it's a little extrapolation, but it's not too far off.
Well, before the cell phone, we had the tricorder on Star Trek. So
exactly.
Same kind of stuff, maybe. Who knows? We'll see how the future unfolds. But it's cool stuff for sure. And I love how you work all that element in. Now, let's look to the future. Have you already started working on the next Mike Scott novel? Not to get ahead of yourself, but...
When you read the book, one of the characters I introduced is an FBI agent, A.J. West, Special Agent A.J. West. And I've decided I actually want to spin her off into her own book.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already gotten that story outlined. That's the next project on my list. So I left the last story off just where Mike Scott's just about to get married. And so he and Frankie, his fiance, will probably end up going off somewhere nice. I'm actually thinking they'll start on the Outer Banks since it was just there and the place is fresh in my mind. And I got a couple of story ideas while I was down there. So they might just run into some kind of adventure while they're on their honeymoon.
Of course.
Mike always runs into something.
Exactly. So, but you're not planning to set him aside for this new spinoff. It's going to keep going in conjunction with a potential new spinoff for Agent West, I guess, from the FBI.
Exactly. I really liked her character, and I felt like there was a lot I could do with it. Mike Scott's not being put out to pasture. But, probably the next book will be the A.J. West story, and then pick up another Mike Scott right after that.
I gotcha. And Agent West, I would assume she is a certified scuba diver.
Well, you know, I haven't actually even addressed that, but something tells me she will be. The story I have outlined for her next, I don't see any diving in it just because it's a little more gruesome and that sort of thing.
Well, she dives down and finds a dead body. There you go.
Well, there you go.
Take it and run with it, Eric. Booksbyeric.com. Check it out. Water Crisis Day Zero, now available. We got more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This garb were perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving and getting down. I am Greg the Dive Master. Barry the Bugger is on the phone. We got to pick up where we left off last week for Bugfest, because after I left South Florida, gorged on Florida spiny lobster. We had lobster omelets at the Gomez Hilton. That was even a first for you, wasn't it, Barry?
Oh, yeah. Lobster omelets are delicious.
They are amazing. And, but right after that, I had to head back to headquarters in Orlando. You hung back and you entertained Tutu Tom and Vinny Two Tanks for a couple more days down there in South Florida. So what did you guys do? Did you give them more of the, East Coast experience?
Oh, absolutely. We just drove around. We ended up going to Flanagan's for a lunch before their flight.
Yeah.
And had a delicious afternoon lunch. And just talked about everything. I found out that Tutu Tom works for an aircraft company. I won't say who.
Right.
But we talked about when I worked for Pan Am, which was over 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just connected really well. And then already started planning next year's dive spectacular. But we won't be diving at 10 or 10:30. We'll be going out early in the morning.
Yeah. Now, do they want to do the early morning dives, or do they want to do the midnight thing?
Well, I don't know. They may want to do the midnight thing, but I don't mind going out like at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, when the sun is just rising. I know some people have to have their breakfast and their manicure and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
No one I can think of at the moment, right?
Yeah, that was rhetorical, by the way. All right. So, yeah but these are West Coast divers. Vinny Two Tanks and Tutu Tom, they're up there out of L.A., Long Beach area, and they're used to the cold water, and they went lobstering out there, in Catalina and off the coast of California, and they've bragged quite a bit over the last few years when I've went out and dove with them that, they know how to catch lobster, and I will admit, they were pretty good. They did catch some lobsters on our dive. Now, you were only on the beach dive, but on the boat dive, both of them snagged a lobster or two, and they did seem to have fast hands, which is all they can use out there on the left coast, right?
Right, and Vinny said that he actually just pawed the lobsters with his hands, no tools required, so you have to be pretty quick to get them, because as soon as they see that hand moving, they go in reverse really fast.
Yes. I did convince them, though, that the Florida spiny lobster are definitely harder to catch than the California spiny lobster, even though they look the same and they're really the same critter.
Well, it may be the cold water. It may slow them down a bit.
That's my reasoning. And, that just makes us sound like better lobster catchers here in Florida. You hear what I'm saying? I'm really just talking smack. I don't know if there's any truth to it at all, and chances are there probably is none. But that doesn't keep me from playing that card and saying, hey, guys, yeah, sure, you know how to catch lobsters, but you're not like the Lobster Slayer, Bug Boy, or Barry the Bugger, which is...
Barry the Boater.
Bugger. You were the Bugger. On that first beach dive, you came home with four. I was impressed. I only saw one. It was too small. But in my defense, you had a flashlight, so that's my excuse for not catching as many as you on the first day.
Well, they were they were really hiding down in under the ledge in the sand there. You had to really look this time.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what day it was, because I think some of the boys went out on Friday, and they said the lobsters were out and about and not afraid of anything.
Mm-hmm. But on, the Friday before, but then when mini season opened up on Wednesday at midnight, all of a sudden this little bell goes off in the back of their little lobster brains, and they realize, like, oops, we better hide. They're coming to get us.
Right.
And I didn't bring a flashlight with me. I should have. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a small one. They have some really powerful LED ones now that will run for hours, and all you want to do is just kind of like peek underneath there, because that's where they're going to be, and you'll find more that way. But August 6th is just around the corner. You know what happens then?
That's right. Well, this Monday, the regular season is opened. Are you getting out there on your boat, the Surprise?
No, I'm probably going to do a beach dive, either on the 6th or 7th. In order for me to go on Surprise, I need someone else on the boat. I'm not going to leave it alone. So.
Okay. So you're going to go pound sand I don't think that's the proper way to say it, but you're going to go step on it towards the water. Are you going to go where we were at Lauderdale by the Sea, or you got a better beach spot you think you can score a lobster?
I'm thinking of going to Lauderdale by the Sea, but heading a little bit further south, and if the current's drifting north, then I'll just take that whole reef that we were on all the way up as far as I can go. Because I had almost, 1,900 pounds of air when we decided to end the dive, and so we could have dove for another 20, 30 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the visibility was just slightly down, and a light would have really helped me immensely. So who knows? Maybe I can be convinced to come down there and hang with you. Yeah, are you looking for a buddy? Is that what you're saying to me right now, Barry the Bugger?
Absolutely. Okay. Could always use a dive partner.
All right, we'll see how that works out. All right, well, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for entertaining Tutu Tom and Vinny Two Tanks and keeping an eye on the lobster as we get ready for the regular season to open up. Look, hour two is on deck. We got Big Wave Dave, Pete from Scuba Board may even join us. So we got much more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.